listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today in studio, Natalia Munoz, host of Via Con Munoz on WHMP, and on the line from Pittsfield, Larry Parnas, investigations editor with the Berkshire Eagle. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
This week, several Massachusetts ballot questions for the fall may have fallen by the wayside. Let's start with the so-called millionaire's tax, which would have imposed an additional tax on any income over $1 million. The state's Supreme Judicial Court threw it off the ballot, but one state senator says he's going to try to keep it alive in a different way. Natalia, is this something that the state needs?
Oh, absolutely. This state is going after casinos to try to raise money to fund the schools and public works and fix the bridges. Yes, that's a very good idea.
Also this week, lawmakers approved a grand bargain, which would gradually raise the minimum wage, require paid family leave, and mandate a yearly sales tax holiday. The deal would keep off the ballot a proposal to cut the state's sales tax. Larry, is this compromise a good deal?
You know, it's a really complicated one. You know, they like these terms, grand bargain, and this one actually undoes part of a grand bargain that they struck 35 years ago when they ended blue laws and created the whole concept of time and a half pay, which is one of the things that comes out of here. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that this happened this week after both the Supreme Judicial Court ruled to bar the millionaire's tax and then facing the prospect of this other ballot question, which would reduce the sales tax. So it's a $2 billion loss in the millionaire's tax, although you shouldn't have counted that money quite yet. And the sales tax reduction would take, I think it's a $1.2 billion out. So there was definitely suddenly, a buzz in the hive down there to get this put together. I think it's a decent proposal. It will make Massachusetts the first state in the country to offer a $15 an hour minimum wage, which I think is really important. And it also begins funding a trust fund for paid family and medical leave. But then again, the business side of it gets a really important rollback, which they've wanted, which is ending Sunday time and a half pay. So, you know, it is a classic compromise.
Natalia, what do you think of this grand bargain?
I don't think it's a grand bargain for the wage earners at all. And I don't think it's a grand bargain for the businesses either. Paying $15 an hour, I agree. I wish that were possible for everybody. But I also know of a lot of businesses that this is going to be coming in incrementally, not all at once. It would be very hard for a lot of businesses to be paying $15 an hour. So there's no grand bargain. I think everybody loses. It's nice to say, oh, yeah, we're going, you know, for the businesses that can pay $15 an hour, great. But for all those businesses that will not be able to pay $15 an hour, I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to shut down. What are they going to do?
Also this week, before President Donald Trump revised a policy on separating migrant adults from their children at the southern border, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker decided he would no longer send a National Guard flight crew there. A spokeswoman for the governor called the practice inhumane. There's no word, however, on whether that decision will be reversed now that the feds have changed course. Larry, is this another sign of Baker's moderate tendencies, or could election year politics have played a role in this decision?
Oh, Adam, you scoundrel. I think, boy, this was an extraordinary week on this border issue. I think almost everyone made some kind of statement on social media, elected officials. It was really something that really pressed a lot of buttons for people. You know, I think the thing that I take away from this is there's a tradition of states rallying together when there's times of national unity, often for hurricanes and storms and disasters. But I think there's been an erosion in that sense of common feeling under the Trump administration. And to have a Republican governor pull out of this, even though he has previously declared that he's not a Trump supporter and didn't vote for him, I think that sends a pretty strong message. And it would be interesting to see whether they do end up sending that helicopter and the two pilots that we're going to be down there for 3 months. That'll be something to watch.
Well, here's the problem with Baker. Yes, he's moderate, but he was going to send those helicopters. He was going to send those National Guardsmen to the border. And it took him days to come to his senses. That they should not have been sent there in the first place. No government should be participating in what's been going on. And the other thing that Republicans should be participating is in speaking up. And I'm talking about the local Republicans in our region. They are not speaking up against this barbaric act by the federal government.
When the MGM Springfield Casino opens August 24th, alcohol will be available to patrons gambling until 4 a.m. The Massachusetts Gaming Commission approved the request this week. A lawyer for the casino says visitors expect having access to alcohol late at night as part of the experience. Commissioner Eileen O'Brien, who is the only one to vote against this request, isn't so sure about that.
I have to say, on balance, the public safety concerns and the concerns about people gaming into the night and having continued alcohol access, on balance, I am just not convinced that at this point it's in the best interest of the Commonwealth to extend from 2 to 4.
Only those actively gambling would be able to still order drinks past the normal 2 a.m. last call. Natalia, what do you make of all of this?
It's ironic because the mayor of Springfield, Sarno himself, not that many years ago, called for bars to close at 1 o'clock. There was a talk about, no, let's close at 2. And he said, no, let's close at 1 because it's a problem. And now the tune has changed to, no, there's going to be security. It's all going to be good. Only people who are gambling. Well, that includes everybody who's gambling. You can go in there with 5 cents and put it in a slot machine. You're gambling. You can have a drink. So it's, again, Springfield doing whatever MGM wants.
It does reinforce the feeling that the normal rules don't apply. You know, casinos are interesting places. In a way, this inside that facility, you're not really even in Springfield, in a way. I mean, that's crazy, of course, because you are. But, you know, time stops. There is no sense of time inside of a casino. Is it 4 a.m.? Is it 3 a.m.? One of the things that jumped out at me is the notion that MGM staff has been trained in handling customers, I think the term was, over intoxication. So, now wait a minute. They're allowed to get to the intoxicated part, and it's only when they're over intoxicated? I don't know. It's just a very, very strange environment. The fact that the commission rolled on this is not that surprising. But, you know, there's the commissioner saying that on balance she's concerned. I think the concerns of balance quite physically with inebriated gamblers coming out of the place is a real concern.
And finally this week, we kicked off our summer fiction series here in New England Public Radio, where we look at recent books by local authors. And many of us enjoy a good book as part of our vacations or summer relaxation. Natalia, do you have any good books lined up for your summer reading?
No, but someone has recommended that I read How Democracies Die.
Oh, Natalia.
Well, I think that's what's happening, though. I don't think I need to read it. I feel like, you know, we're witnessing it.
Larry?
After Tom Wolfe died, I went and got a bunch of his books out of the library, the nonfiction stuff. I'm reading The Right Stuff, and it is like a rocket ship of writing. It's just tremendously informative and entertaining. Recommend it to anybody who wants to delve back into the 60s world of the Mercury astronaut. It's really fascinating.
All right, Larry Parnas with the Berkshire Eagle and Natalia Munoz, host of Via Con Munoz on WHMP. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Adam.
Oh, you bet.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.